Would you turn to John chapter 10? That's the Gospel of John. How many of you know you got to fight for the presence of God?
Hallelujah.
If you were there Friday night, do you notice when you fought for the presence? You know, God doesn't come unless you're hungry. He doesn't come unless you're thirsty. You never go to God and say, okay, Lord, what do you got to show me? Because you won't get nothing. Are you hearing? You don't test God. God tests you. So you've got to, the Bible says, seek him with all of your heart. And when you seek him with truly all of your heart, that means you're willing to do whatever it takes. When you touch his heart, he touches yours. See, the problem is everybody's touching each other's heart, but it ain't God. So everybody gets caught up in the soulish arena, and they get caught up in emotional attachments. Remember, you're to give your heart to God, not to nobody else. If you give your heart to your spouse, you're out of line. If you give your heart to your children, you're out of line. Your heart goes to the Lord, and then the heart of the Lord comes to you, and that's the one you share, not yours. Why? Because then you still fight for your life. Until you give your life up, you will not have a right life. You got to give your life up so his life is manifested. And that's the problem right now. The enemy snares individuals so they continue to fight for their own life and not willing to give it up. Then they move out of God's timing, they move out of position, and they wonder why they're not being blessed. They wonder why they keep going in a cycle. They wonder why the devil keeps stealing everything. Are you hearing? Listen, the devil's out to kill and destroy you, isn't he? Look at, turn to John 10, in verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the what? The door. In other words, he is the way, isn't he? And there is no other way. You try to go any other way, you're going to fail every time. There is no other way. There's only his way or the highway. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be what?
Saved.
And will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to what?
Steal
and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And remember, the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. In other words, he's a taker. Are you hearing me? Jesus came for something specific. First of all, the first thing he did was to give his life. You want to get something? You better give your life. He came to give his life so that we may have a life and that we may have it more abundantly. You know, the world lives on survival. There's a place where God brings us to abundance. The devil loves to put people in debt. And the reason why they go in debt is because they can't trust God. Are you hearing me? Listen, Jesus came to pay everything for me and you that we could enter. But he said, I am the way. There is no other way. I am the door. When you get in that door, everything is available to you. Now you've got to take from the table and learn, because freedom is learned. Abundance is learned. Prosperity is learned. Are you hearing me? All of these things are learned. So many people come to Jesus and think, okay, I got everything. That's all I need to do is just have Jesus in my life. No, no, that's not how it works. Jesus said something specifically. He said, come to me and learn from me. Hello. He didn't just come to die for you. He came to leave his spirit for you to teach you all things. That's why the Bible says the anointing teaches you all things. Well, he says also that my people are destroyed for not being taught or lack of knowledge. So there's a place where your obedience is going to bring prosperity. Your obedience is going to bring abundance. Your obedience is going to bring new life. Your obedience. And until we become totally obedient to what God wants, we'll constantly go in cycles. We'll constantly have struggles. We'll constantly be beat up. We'll constantly have the devil steal things. Are you hearing me? You know, our purpose is to make no place for the devil. Amen? Don't make no place for him. Don't give him the opportunity. Why? He's a thief. He's a robber. He's a liar. He's a killer. He's a murderer. Why would you fellowship and give him access to your home? Why would you allow him in your finances? Why would you allow him in your children? Why would you allow him in your marriage? Why would you allow him in anything? Hello? Why? Because he's going to end up stealing it, killing it, and destroying it. You know, we've got to come out of this wimpy spirit, man. We've got to get bold and stand up for what's the truth. Fulfill what God has asked you to fulfill, and he'll bless your socks off. He'll even put new ones on. See? Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. How many know he's coming soon? Well, we better get in line, man. It's time to clean up. It's time to clean house. It's time to get rid of the accursed items. You know why people still hold on to accursed items? Because they ain't dead yet. But that accursed item will kill them. In verse 10, would you read it with me? Matthew 13, 10. And his disciples came and said to Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance." So here's your key. Are you hearing this? How are you going to have abundance? Listen, he says, to you has been given the mysteries of the kingdom. What's the mysteries? Truths. These are called truths. He said to them, to you it's been given the truth. You've been given the truth to have abundance in life because the mysteries of the kingdom of God have been given to you, these truths. But to them it has not been given. Now listen. Then he says, and whoever has, to him more will be given. In other words, if you have it and you're obeying it and you're using it, abundance is going to come. Do you understand that? It isn't until you use the truth. Then abundance comes. Unless you're not using it, it ain't coming, is it? Are you hearing? So you may know about it, but you're not doing it. Well, then don't expect to be blessed. Are you hearing? This is important. Okay, let's go further. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be what? Taken away from him. So if you have the truth, are you hearing? And you're not using it, you're going to lose it. If you have the truth and you're not using it, you're going to lose it. That's why people backslide and go back into the world. Why? Because the devil's come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And verse 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, "Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have what? Grown dull, cold, hard." But they had it one time, didn't they? Because something can't grow dull unless it's had something already, right? It can't get hard unless at one time has been soft. So to these people, he says, their heart has grown dull. They have turned away. They have let go of the truth. Are you with me? Okay. Well, let's go further. Verse, what's the next verse here? 15. And in them the what? The prophecy of Isaiah is what? Fulfilled, which says, "Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull." Their ears are what? Hard of hearing. And it doesn't mean because they need hearing aids. They are not receiving. Their heart has grown hard. And they are not receiving what God is saying. Their eyes, they have what? Closed. In other words, they can't receive the truth anymore. And they can't see the truth anymore. They cannot get revelation, can they? Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and what? Turn. Turn from what? Turn from the wicked way. Turn from the lie. And turn to the truth. So that I should what? Heal them. Isn't that a great blessing? You know, there are people that still need to be healed. Not only physically, spiritually, but financially. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they what? For they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And I want to explain something about this. See, you know the truth. You know the mysteries. The mysteries are truth. And you understand them. That means you must use them. So there is no excuse. This is what Jesus was expressing. There is no excuse if you know the truth and choose not to do it. There is no excuse whatsoever. God has made enough fellowships and enough truth in this country. There should be nobody walking out of God's will. That's a choice people make, isn't it? They choose not to do the will of God. They choose not to hold on to the truth. They make that choice. And what happens is that the devil comes to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. So there is no excuse. They have grown hearted. Their heart is hard. They become blind. They're not willing to take the new. Are you with me? They're not willing to take the what? The new. Oh, let's go to verse 19. Now he explains. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This one is he who receives seed on the way. So we see that the devil comes to what? Steal. So when he receives the truth, the mystery, he doesn't hold on to it. And the devil comes to what? Steal it. All right? Verse 20. But he received the seed on the stony places. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he what? He stumbles. In other words, this is one where the devil comes to kill the seed. Are you with me? Why? Because he's not holding the seed. He's not holding fast. Come on, let's go on. In verse 22, I'm sorry. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It becomes what? Unfruitful. And this is the one the devil destroys. Why? Because they no longer can produce good fruit. He comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He steals it. Then he kills it when you try to hold on to it. And if you can't hold on to it, he'll destroy you or you will not bear fruit. Are you getting this? So there's something that you and I must do. We must hold fast. You must hold on to the new no matter what it takes. No matter what. You know, last week I think we talked about enduring. Well, this week we're talking about holding fast. You must hold on. The Bible says grab hold of God and then he'll grab hold of you. You must hold on to the new, what? The truth that you have. You must do everything to hold on to it. Nothing can be stolen. You can't allow it to be stolen. You can't allow it to be killed. And you can't allow it to be destroyed because you will be destroyed. Are you with me? What are you going to hold fast on to? Truth. Sometimes you've got to come to the end of yourself to hold on to the new. Sometimes you've got to hold on to the new to come to the end of yourself. Are you getting this? See, people trying to figure everything out all at once. And when you're trying to figure everything out, the devil comes because you're trying to grasp understanding. But the devil comes while you're trying to grasp understanding to steal it. If you'll just hold on to it no matter what, until understanding comes. See, that's when you're holding on to the new, it's causing the old to go away. That means you're coming to the end of yourself. So many times people are waiting to change to get the new. You're not going to change before you get the new. You're going to get the new, which is going to cause you to change. But you must hold on to it no matter what. You can't allow the devil to steal it anymore, kill it or destroy it, because you'll be destroyed. It's really a matter of life and death. What are you willing to do? Go the high way or the right way? Because there's only one way home. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Think about how many things God has given you new that you've allowed to go and not holding on to it. First four verses, would you read it with me, please? Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved. Now look at, you see that word if?
Hello.
That means you've been saved once, doesn't mean you're always going to be saved. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, when you end up in hell, you'll believe it. There isn't one unbeliever in hell. Everyone that's there now is a believer, right? So it says here, by which also you are saved, if you what? You hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. So we see here something powerful. It says that we are to hold fast to the what? To the Word. To Christ. What? He died for you. Listen, if he didn't hold fast, we wouldn't be here. You don't think he was tempted? You don't think he was tried? You don't think the devil tried to get him out of position? Remember, he put on flesh, you know, even though it was the Word. He still was tempted, wasn't he? But he held fast, didn't he? We must learn to hold fast. You know, holding fast takes discipline. It doesn't take an emotion. Thank you. Oh, I feel like holding fast. Oh, I don't feel like holding fast. Why, you bonehead? It's got nothing to do with how you feel. You hold fast no matter what. Listen, if there was a hurricane going through here, you'd grab hold of this pole. You know this pole ain't going nowhere. But if you let go, you're going somewhere. You hold fast. You've got to. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter who's coming against you, no matter what you hear, what you see, and what you feel. You must hold fast during that storm. Why? Because at the end of every circumstance is the favor of God. Man, you hold fast that he's going to show up. Your knight in shining armor is on his way. Hallelujah. Now, we are to hold fast to the Word. Christ died and gave you new. What you're holding on is new, aren't you? You're holding on to everything God has done in your life, which is new. Well, what do you mean by new? How about new family? But first of all, you got to hold on to the truth, or you won't be able to hold on to your new family. You'll end up losing that too, won't you? Why? Because the devil's come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. You must hold on to the truth all the way, no matter what, or you'll lose everything. Are you hearing? Come on, let's go a little deeper. Hebrews 4. Jesus gave you the new way of life, new truth. He gave you a way of escape, didn't he? Hebrews 4. So you can never put anything between you and God. Hebrews 4. Is everybody there? Oh, God's good. All the time. Correction, direction. He knows exactly what we need today. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points, he was what? Tempted as we are, yet without, so he didn't blow it. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Holding fast to your confession, holding fast to truth. I want to share a couple of things that you need to hold fast to. Your testimony. You need to hold fast to your testimony, especially when things are happening in your life. Hold fast to that testimony. Hold fast to the revelation that God showed you. Hold fast to that rhema he spoke to you. Hold fast to it. Hold fast to his promises. Hold fast, right? Hold fast to his love. Hold fast to his power. Hold fast to his will. Hold fast to his integrity. Hold fast to the new belief system he's given you. Amen. And when you hold fast to these things, you're going to hold fast to the new image he's given you also. Are you hearing me? You want to hold fast to the new. Everyone say, I'm holding fast, to the new. And I'm letting go of the old. Now you got a confession, right? Now hold fast to this confession today, all right? Revelation 3. Don't wait for the old to come, okay? Don't look at the old. Grab hold of the new. Revelation chapter 3. Why? Because when you grab hold of the new, you'll come to the end of yourself. Can everybody understand that? I want to see everybody from now on grab hold of the new with both hands, not just one. Let go. If you hear the Lord say, let go, it means let go of the old, man, and put both hands in the new. Amen. You can't grab hold of the old if you're still got both hands on the new. How many times has God positioned you spiritually? He moves you spiritually to grab hold of what? New. If you're not willing to receive the new, the old will become like the old manna from heaven. What had happened to it? It rotted. It got bugs. See, if God was giving him fresh manna every day, he's bringing us new every day. That's why he says, I've come to bring you new life and abundant life. Why? Abundant isn't staying in one place. Abundant is growing. It's expanding. So he's always going to give you something new to grab hold of. But you must grab hold of the new and let go of the old. It doesn't mean come out of position. Hello? So many people are trying to grab hold of something that the devil comes up and defines it as new, but it isn't new. It's a trap. But because they've let go of some of the new already, now they can't discern what is the trap. Because the new brings revelation, it brings rhema, it brings discernment. And when you've got both hands on the new, you won't let go. As long as you're holding on to the new, what God is going to do is complement the new to continue to grow. He won't tell you to take your hands off of the new. He'll fill the new. Are you hearing me? In Revelation chapter 3, are y'all there? In verse 1, an angel of the church of Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive. But you be dead. You are dead. What would bring death? The old. Are you hearing me? Not willing to grab hold to the new. Now look at, watch this. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you received and heard. Hold fast and what? Repent. Turn away from the old and come to the new. Therefore, if you will not watch, I'm going to come upon you as a thief. Just, wait a minute. Who is he going to use? He's going to use the devil, isn't he? You don't think God uses the devil? You bet you he does. That's how he trained you up. The Bible says God don't tempt you, does he? So who does he use to tempt you? Come on. Do y'all get it? You're in the Holy Ghost boot camp. Officers training school. You're going to be trained up, tempted. Chastened until you're crucified. Until all the old is crucified and everything becomes brand new. In verse 4, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are what? Worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of the life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So you and I must hold fast. We must repent. In other words, that means turn away from the old. Let go that one hand that's still holding on to the old. Oh, but Lord, you promised me a long time. Let go of the promise, will you? And grab hold of the new. Listen, God hasn't forgotten. You don't have to keep reminding him. Are you hearing me? You don't think listen, he's trying to fulfill what he promised you, but if you're not willing to hold on, then grab hold to the new, what he promised you can't be fulfilled. Many people get prophecies. All prophecies are according to whether you're fulfilling what God has asked you to do. It's not just going to come to pass. Oh, I'm just going to do what I want and wait for this prophecy to come to pass. It never will. It says because they are in part. And that means you must do the other part. But I've been prophesied this. I've been prophesied. There are more people holding on to the prophecy instead of the will of God. Let go of the prophecy. Are you hearing me? Let it go and grab hold of the new, what God has, and you'll find that prophecy will come to pass. I don't chase prophecies. I chase the King. If you chase the King, everything will come to pass. Are you all right? Hold fast and repent. Turn away from the old. Let go of the old. And hold fast no matter what's going on. Fulfill what he's asked you to fulfill. Do what he's asked you to do. Why? Because if you can't hold on to the new, he can never trust you. You have to earn his trust. Obedience will earn his trust. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You know, sometimes it's almost like during certain storms and during all kinds of things that are going on and you're holding on to the new. That's what you need to do is, Lord, I'm holding on. I'm going to hold on no matter what, Lord. Look at David said, he said, though you slay me, I'll still praise you. What was he doing? He was holding on no matter what. Though you slay me, I'm going to still hold on no matter what. I'd rather fall in the hands of God than the hands of the enemy. No matter what's going on, I don't care what, I'm holding on, Lord. He'll come. You hold on to the new. Holding on to the new will help you come to the end of yourself. Because you're your worst enemy. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, would you read it with me? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, wow, he's what? He's what? Well, if he's a new creation, you'd think God's got things new then. Well, this is very powerful because he says what? All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So if they're becoming new, are you got to hold on to them or let them go? So who wants to deceive you and bring something from old and have it all wrapped up like new? Satan. He likes to bring back the things of old and try to bring them new. He tries to bring it and you know what it does? The only thing it puffs up is your emotion. Oh, here's something from the old. Oh, I'm so excited. And you open it up and it blows up in your face. Why? Because it just moved you out of the will of God. You didn't hold on. You didn't hold on to what was new. And you can't come to the end of yourself, so you'll always be deceived. You'll be emotionally attached to all kind of foolish things in this world. And the devil will come to steal, kill, and destroy everything. Everything in your life. Why? So you can't bear fruit. So you can't give glory to God. You're so busy trying to survive that you can't give God glory. Because you don't look like you're prospering too well. Are you hearing me? Let go of the old. When God's got something new, you grab hold of that new and you hold on no matter what. Why? Because he's going to constantly... you know what feeds new? New.
Amen.
Old doesn't feed new. New feeds new. And that will feed you. Are you getting this? Come on, we're going to hold on to the new and never get fed by the old again. Amen. We've got some work to do. New will keep you in the unity of the Spirit. Old won't. Why? Because you're a new creation. I'm brand new today. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. I don't even care about tomorrow. It's got nothing to do with my life. I'm not there. I'm right now. God now. He's placed a table in front of my enemies. The devil's trying to steal my cup, but he can't because I'm holding on to new. It's got Holy Ghost anointing glue. Can't take the cup from the table, only me. So I get to the table. I fight to get to the table. Kick a little butt, do the Holy Ghost karate. I get to the table. I drink the cup. Man, it flows over. Now, I ran into Phyllis. Then me and Nova Flow teamed up, and we're gone. Grab on to new. Y'all with me? Go to Romans. Let me share something with you. We need to continue to hold on to the new. There's a couple things I want you to let go of besides the old man. How about regret? How about hurt? How about pain? How about rejection? How about bitterness? How about unforgiveness? How about debts? Let go of the old and grab hold of the new. Why? Because you got a new future. You got a new life. Are you hearing? You want a new wife? You grab hold of the new and let God change them. You want a new husband? Grab hold of the new and let God change them. Get your little paws off of everything. And you grab hold of all, both hands, if you have to, with all of your toes, to the new. And let God build the house and not you. Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. Holding fast to the new. In verse 4. You know, God begins to bring things to remembrance for us because some of the old that we all of a sudden grab hold of, you know, come real gift wrapped and, you know, stuck it in our pocket, didn't realize it was still old. Old promises, old this, old that, you know. And it brings nothing but, woe is me. Uh-huh. Sola Sharina. Here comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Wonder why we're going around the same old circle over and over and over. It's because you let go of new and you grabbed hold of old. We are new creations. The only way to maintain new is grab hold of new and let new be fed. New feeds new. Old does not feed new. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore, we were what? Buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Walk in the new, not in the old. Attitude, motive, desires, relationships, places, people. You want to hang with the old, you become like it. Bad company corrupts good habits. And don't justify. Justification is a lie from hell. Yeah, but you don't. Oh, shut up. No buts. We're not the butt ministry. We're the head. You hear a butt, kick it. Just kick it out of your way, man. It'll cause you to stumble. That's why people walk backwards sometimes, you know. Why? They're living in the old. You got to grab hold of the new. Both hands on the new. Old things have passed away. And all things have become new. Let's go a little further. Verse 5, okay? For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was what? Crucified with him. Don't take him off the cross. Both hands were crucified, you know. Keep them there. See, when you grab hold of old, you just took in the old man off the cross. And he's going to get down and kick your butt because he don't like it up there. It's humility. Doesn't get what it wants. It's not being fed by the world. It's the offspring of darkness. Wants to run your life. Go ahead, you let go of the new, and the old man will come down and kick your butt. I'm telling you. He can't wait to come down because he wants to come to steal and kill and destroy. Why? So he can have his way. Are you all right? Verse 6 again. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from he who has what?
Died.
See, I'm not just saying it's a good day to die for no reason. Because if you're willing to die, you are loose from sin. And if you're willing to stay dead, that means you're grabbing hold on to the new. And the new is being fed with new. And you're growing and prospering and getting stronger. And the devil's afraid of you now. You're no longer afraid of him. See, then you'll know when this little creepy Paulus tried to come in and steal something. You'll stomp on them. You'd cause them to cry. And when your old man tries to come off the cross, you'll notice it and you'll put him right back up. And have pleasure doing it. You must grab both hands to the new. Hold fast. Don't justify. Don't reason, because justification and reasoning is a lie. What you're doing is trying to cover up. Are you hearing? Remember, no buts. Just kick them. Romans 7, next chapter. Y'all all right? You getting this? You're going to use it. You got to use it. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. Well, what about all the things I messed up on? Repent! And grab hold of the new. Get back into position. And let God build the house and not you.
That's right.
Just turn from it. Say no. Sever it. Sever every emotional attachment. Sever every soul tie. Sever everything. Get caught loose from everything so you're totally free. And you can grab both hands of the new and let him feed the new from this day forward. Don't look back. You'll turn to salt. What's that mean? Hardened heart. You'll begin to regret. The devil loves to attack you with regret. Oh, man, I regret this and I regret that. Well, then you just let go of new and you grab hold of old. Are you hearing?
Oh, but you don't know.
Oh, I don't want to know. I only want to know what's new, not old. I'm in with the new. God is the God of new. He's the God of now. See, if you just grab hold of both hands with the new, he'll fix the old. You don't have to. But so many times, because the devil convinces people, come on, let go of that one hand. You can do this. Yeah. Okay. And we let go. Can you imagine going through a storm, 120 mile an hour winds? You're going to let go of one hand? You have to be an idiot. Because you can't hold on with one hand, can you? No, you got to hold on with two hands. Next thing you know, you'll find yourself right back where you started from. Man, how did I get here? I'm street bound. I'm homeless. I've got nothing. Wait a minute, I just had everything. How did I end up here? Because you let go of the new. And you didn't feed the new. And you grab hold of the old in hope. The devil came and deceived you. And he came to steal, kill, and destroy. Never let go of the new. Be faithful what you're supposed to do. Freedom is learned. Trust is earned. We are in a season right now where it's critical. You can't play no games with God. The games are over with. When you're serious with him, he'll be serious with you. Other than that, you just be floating from dock to dock and never get nowhere. Go around that same old circle like one of those little merry-go-round things, you know? Everybody's waving bye-bye. You're still on it. Hi. Hi. There they go again. And it never runs out. The only way you stop it is when you grab hold of the new with both hands. Then you can dismount. Some of you have been riding that little dragon on there, you know? Did you ever see those little dragons on those things? And little dragon demons on there, you know? Romans chapter 7. Are y'all there yet? In verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him. You're to be married to him. Don't be married to your spouse. Be married to him. If your spouse is before God, you're in trouble. If you're willing to walk away from the will of God for your spouse, you're an idiot. You mean you're calling me an idiot? Yep. Jesus called them hypocrites. Called them stupid. Are you hearing? Your spouse cannot rescue you. Maybe they'll get rescued when you start grabbing both hands to the new. And you stop trying to rescue them. Flesh will have no glory. Either Jesus gets it or nobody gets it. Let's read 4 again. Therefore, my brethren, you also become dead. You have become dead to the law, to the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who raised him from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. You know, so many people are bearing fruit to the soulish arena instead of to God. Oh, honey, this is what I'm doing for you. That's good. Do it unto the Lord. The Bible says, labor unto the Lord, not to one another. Give your heart to God, not to one another. These are all deceptions of darkness, and this is why people go in cycles and circles. This is why they get all frustrated when they lose things. Then they try to recover them. Because they haven't grabbed hold of the new, they still think it's theirs anyways. You and I don't know nothing. Nothing. We came in this world with nothing. The only thing we want to go home with was brothers and sisters. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 5. For when we are in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the latter. How many want to serve in the newness of the Spirit? Well, then you got to grab both hands to the new and allow new to be fed by new and not to be fed by old. Holding fast. You must hold fast no matter what. I don't care what's going on around you. You hold fast to the truth, to the testimony God has given you, to the revelations, to the rhema, to the fresh manna. You hold fast to what's been said. You hold fast to this message today, and you will prosper exceedingly if you hold fast to what you heard from the Spirit. This isn't from no man. I'm getting it just as you are. You hold fast to what God is doing. You hold fast to this message and your life will change. The moment you let go, it will change also to the old. And the devil will come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to bring his life and give his life that you and I could have a life and have it more abundantly. He just didn't say, get a life. He said, and have it more abundantly. I don't want to just get a life. I want to have it more abundantly so that his life is glorified in mine. Are you hearing me? Everybody okay? Are you ready? Let's do it. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we make the confession that we are new in Christ. We hold both hands to new and let all the old go. We allow the feeding of the new as we eat on your faithfulness to feed the new. That we may maintain new, grow in the new, prosper in the new, expand in the new, and be established in the new. That the name above all names would be glorified in our life, Jesus. Lord, now we repent for anything that we've held on to the old. We repent for trying to build our own house. We repent for justification and lying. We repent for not kicking butt out of our way. We repent for anything we've come in agreement of old and covenants. We repent, Lord. for allowing old to come into the new. We ask for the washing of the blood and the severance of every emotional attachment right now. Every soul tie of old, every emotional attachment, every idol we sever right now. Every care, every worry, every burden we sever right now. Every hurt, every regret, every rejection we sever right now with the old. Every unforgiveness and every offense we sever from the old right now in the name of Jesus. We put the blood between us and we command those spirits to go to the pit and we grab hold of the new. We grab hold of everything of the new with both hands that we may become new in all things, maintaining new, establishing new, and getting some new oil today. Amen. Now lift your hands to heaven and thank Him for everything that's being new so that God can continue to do a new thing in your life in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Hallelujah!